Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Top Stories, I'm producer Chris. June 2011 now, and there was plenty going on in the Middle East, but John didn't let the serious situation put him off from a musical interlude. It's issue 157, reacting like a coiled donut.
Top story this week, freedom, we won't let you down, freedom, though actually we might let you down, freedom, in fact we are definitely going to let you down, Middle East uprising update now.
What's that? I don't know that song.
George Michael?
Yes, you do.
Oh,
yes,
right.
You do, Andy. It's a George Michael classic.
Oh, it's my school song, actually.
When you say you don't know a song like that, you lose musical credibility, Andy. Not everything is Bon Jovi and Boney M.
Well, I'm flattered by the suggestion that I had musical credibility before that.
If it helps, it was Robbie Williams' debut solo single as well, Andy.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Right.
Now, Chris has lost musical credibility by going the other side of knowledge now. Anyway, Andy, freedom! That was the cry of William Wallace Braveheart shortly before the British tore him limb from limb. And if you think about it, in many ways, he got his freedom, Andy, as we generously liberated his extremities from the oppressive ties of his torso. And did he say thank you? Did he f***? He just died, the ungrateful Scot. Well, that cry of freedom has been sounding out across the Middle East over the last month with similarly brutal results. It's like the dictators of the world once went to a hypnotist show, and the hypnotist told them that if they ever heard the word freedom, they should cluck like a chicken and open fire on their own people. Well, we in the rest of the world have been trying so hard to ignore what is happening in Syria, Yemen and Libya as much as we can. It's like that amnesty technique that adults sometimes use with children. I'm going to turn my back, and when I turn back around, I want to see a stable democratic government here. Except this time, whenever we turn around, it's just Gaddafi flipping the bird and pointing at his own bare arse. I guess the big takeaway is, it does seem that we are currently in a lot more wars than we're giving ourselves credit for. We're running a pretty impressive number of explosive physical discussions with countries in and around the Middle East. The problem is that we're being extremely careful not to call anything that we're doing a war. They're either humanitarian interventions or kinetic military actions or covert operations, but there are so many of them happening now that we're going to need to invent more euphemisms for war, and we're going to have to do it fast. So, Yemen news now! And Andy, in Yemen, we're involved in a spot of what I believe the potential UN resolution describes as violent nudging. Just throwing a few ballistic elbows to knock them back onto the right track.
That's a good way of putting it, John. And it's also, I guess, you know, that we've been previously nudging them by giving them lots and lots of weapons in exchange for lots and lots of Yemeni money. So.
Yeah, that's right. We're no stranger to the nudge.
Yeah. So, I mean, it has led to... There's been... I can't say I've fully followed the Yemen crisis. I mean, there's been a lot of sport on this year, John. So,
right.
I mean, things have to take priorities. But it does seem...
I don't think the Yemenis would blame you for that.
It does seem that there have now been more resignations than at the World Pessimism Championships. Does that quite work? I think that nearly works. I think that's just close enough.
Yeah.
I mean, I could probably have worded it better with a bit more time, but I'm just going to have to do.
I think what happened with that joke, Andy, is it's like in the semi-finals. You're an Olympic sprinter who has just placed, so just getting through to the final, but in the knowledge that you are going to arrive last. The Obama administration has been increasing airstrikes on suspected militants in Yemen in an attempt to keep them from gaining power while the government teeters. And a US official confirmed that a strike last Friday killed Abu Ali al-Harith, a mid-level al-Qaeda operative, which followed last month's attempted strike against Anwar al-Awlaki, the leader of al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. So, just to be clear, are we now fully admitting that we are trying to assassinate these people? Or are there still those strange excuses afterwards? Oh, it was an accident. We were carrying a bomb on a plane and we hit some turbulence and it must have just dropped on his house by mistake. We're very sorry and very embarrassed. Or maybe it's... Oh, we saw through a drone camera that there was a wasp on his nose. And you know, we didn't want him to get stung. We know he's allergic to wasps. So we launched 3 missiles at his house to scare the wasp off.
Or maybe that they'd been, hacking his emails. And they'd found out that he wanted to have a new patio put in. Merely helping him out by flattening his garden. And
that is entirely possible.
Yeah, we can't rule
now,
that out.
We've been doing this secretly, although I don't know how secret anything can be when there's a huge explosion at the end of it and a crater in the ground where a building used to be. But we've also been doing it with the covert support of President Ali Abdullah Saleh, the brutal, repressive leader of Yemen. And he's actually been a bit quiet this week, President Saleh, because last Friday he came down with a very nasty case of being blown up by a bomb. And there's a lot of that flying around the region's leaders at the moment. It seems to be very contagious. It was initially reported as a rocket attack by rebels, but was later revealed to be a bombing at a mosque inside his palace. And apparently he's been in intensive care in hospital in Saudi Arabia since then and has had shrapnel removed from his body, as well as suffering 40% burns. But President Saleh has already said, Andy, that he's coming back. And I definitely wasn't expecting that, Andy. I was expecting him to pull a Musharraf there, realise he's got no more chips and walk away from the table. But instead, he's gone outside, he's stolen a bunch of car keys and is now pushing them towards the dealer and doubling down. He's in it to win it, Andy. 40% burns to the body. He could be Yemen's first bionic president, emerging from the smoke with a digital eye scanning for dissidents. His supporters have been playing down his injuries, saying he's overcome the health difficulties after successful surgery to remove shrapnel. Sources expected him to return soon after completing his recovery and treating some light surface burns. Light surface burns? Presumably, those are the ones on the surface of the 40% massive burns all over his body.
I don't know, John, if you had a steak with 40% burns, it would still be pretty rare, wouldn't it? I mean, maybe that's the angle they're going with there.
His supporters fired shots into the air on Thursday to celebrate reports that he would soon return to Yemen. And this might actually be the best way for President Saleh to gauge who's a supporter of his and who's a rebel, by just seeing which angle the bullets are flying. Are they going up in the air, or are they flying towards his head? That could be the key.
That's how I certainly do it at gigs. And in Syria, John, it's a pretty messy situation in Syria. President Assad is certainly living up to the first syllable of his name. And, of course, it's hard to know exactly what's going on because the Syrian government has refused to allow most of the foreign media access to the country, although it did say that the Bugle could go in. But unfortunately, I've been busy this week, and John's a chicken. Chicken! So, grow a pair and get over there. But anyway, so once again, the United Nations, John, has sprung into action like a coiled donut and has responded to the unfolding catastrophe in Syria by debating with itself whether or not to tell Syria that it's being a bit naughty. Now, understandably, such extremely strong words have caused a split in the UN Security Council, and Brazil, China and Russia have said that they're worried about hurting Syria's feelings at a time when it's really not feeling very good about itself already. Brazil have suggested a compromise whereby any resolution is delivered to the Syrian government in the form of a video of kids juggling footballs on the beach at Rio de Janeiro. China has offered to deploy 2,000 peacekeeping infantry troops, but only ones made of terracotta. And Russia wants to airdrop vodka over the entire country to help it drink its way through its problems. Funny how countries always fall back on what they know best in times of crisis. We in Britain, we've offered to send in Vera Lynn. We'll meet again, don't know where, don't know when, but there is a possibility that it might be in a few years' time in The Hague.
In Syria at the moment, there is clearly a looming humanitarian crisis on a very depressing scale. Of all the global cities that you do not want to be living in at the moment, the town of Jizir al-Shagur is right up there. And in real estate terms...
Is it worse than Derby?
I think it is, Andy.
Really?
In real estate terms, it's very much a buyer's market there. To put it indelicately, there may be some unexpectedly open plots of land to build on there very soon. The problem is that 120 Syrian troops were reportedly killed there over the weekend in protests, and the authorities have made it clear that they will act decisively and forcefully to restore control. And just to be clear about quite how chilling that statement is, when President al-Assad acts decisively, things get broken. When he said he was going to change the TV channel decisively, he ordered tanks to open fire on his television set, then bought himself a new plasma screen that was preset to the channel he wanted instead.
Yeah, the army are now advancing on Jizr al-Shagur after what it claims was a lethal attack by rebel protesters on government troops, which others have claimed was a lethal attack by government troops on government troops who didn't want to launch a lethal attack on rebel protesters. And it's left many fearing a repeat of the 1982 Hama massacre, when the current president's father ordered a scorched earth policy resulting in the deaths of tens of thousands of his own people. But still, John, these people should count themselves lucky. They don't know how good they've got it, being fired on by their own military, hounded from their homes, having their electricity, water and food supplies cut off, because at least they did not have to go through the soul-shattering trauma of applying for loads of Olympic tickets, but not getting very many of them due to overwhelming public demand and the random nature of a balloting system.
Oh, Andy, I'm sorry.
But it's time we in Britain...
I'm sorry, Andy.
We need to rise up, John. Yeah. We cannot sit back and take this kind of oppression any longer. What about our human rights, John? What about my fundamental right to pay over the odds to watch minor sports I habitually have no interest in? Where is Amnesty International now, John? It's all gone f***ing quiet. Sod Syria, there are loads of Arab nations, but there's only one London Olympics. And for too long, people selling sports tickets to us have told us how to live our lives. But no longer, Britain. Rise up! Let's lay our own eggs, wield our own spoons, and hold our own People's Olympics. Even if the IOC's armed forces try to stop us and the government suppresses the foreign media from reporting it. We have to take a stand, John.
Well, that was fun. Now, there are rumours that the world will still exist in June, and if so, there are two live bugles taking place in London at the Leicester Square Theatre. One of them's pretty much sold out, but you might be able to squeeze in somewhere. The other one's about 90% sold out, so get your bottoms in there now. It would be lovely to see you. Bye! Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime Bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.